This is an alert to a Safe Threat Journal national situation update for the week ending Saturday, June 14th, 2014. This week in security news, it's been a stunning week in terms of global tensions and unrest. Starting first in the Middle East, on multiple occasions this week, alert USA customers were notified via text messages to their mobile devices regarding breaking developments in Iraq. The country is being torn apart at a rate faster than most could have comprehended and will, for sure, have dramatic regional and global implications. Rebels from the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, also known as ISIS, a jihadist group so completely lunatic and out of control that they were actually expelled from the Al-Qaeda global network in February of this year, have overrun Iraqi government forces and now control a major swath of territory equating to about one-quarter to one-third of the country. Included in this area is Mosul, Iraq's second-largest city with a population of over 1.5 million, as well as Tikrit, Saddam Hussein's former hometown. As of the time of this report's preparation late Friday, ISIS rebels had advanced to within 30 miles of the capital of Baghdad. UK media outlets are reporting that roads in the conquered areas are lined with the bodies of executed and beheaded police and soldiers, and that thousands of others have been taken prisoner. The massive U.S. embassy in Baghdad is executing plans for a possible evacuation, and hundreds of non-essential personnel, contractors, and U.S. military advisors have already left the country, with more on the way. The Turkish consulate in Mosul was also overrun, with more than three dozen diplomats and embassy workers kidnapped. Turkey, a NATO member, has called for an emergency meeting of the alliance, and the U.S. has offered military assistance to help Turkey recover the staff. The Turkish parliament has given the military authorization to conduct unlimited military operations in the country until at least October. On Thursday of this week, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina called for U.S. airstrikes on ISIS rebels and urged the Obama administration to immediately withdraw U.S. embassy staff in Baghdad to prevent another Benghazi incident. Senator Graham made his appeal moments after he left a top-secret Senate Armed Services Committee briefing within which he was told information about the extremists that he says, quote, scared the hell out of him. Perhaps it is within this briefing that he learned that along with overrunning a number of Iraqi military bases and installations, ISIS rebels also took control of massive arms depots containing all manner of offensive weaponry stockpiled by the U.S. for the new Iraqi army, including a number of Black Hawk and Kiowa helicopters, personnel and equipment transports, and more. This may also be the briefing where he received further confirmation that many of the ISIS rebels on the offensive in Iraq were actually trained and equipped by the U.S. over the last several years for the proxy war being fought in Syria. For those listeners without a map handy, Iraq and Syria share a common border measuring more than 375 miles in length, a vast majority of which is open frontier. In this week's issue of the Threat Journal newsletter, you can find a map from the Washington-based Institute for the Study of War, providing an updated depiction of the operational area now under the control of ISIS rebels. And in a stunning development, late this week, the government of Iran offered to partner with the U.S. in helping Iraq fight back. Iranian officials told Reuters that the country will send advisors and weaponry, though probably not troops. That's interesting, as there are already widespread reports of several battalions of Iranian troops on the ground in Iraq engaging in the fight. Friday afternoon, President Obama stated that the United States will not be sending U.S. troops back into combat in Iraq, but that he would be reviewing a range of other options to support the Iraqi government against a sweeping advance by militant fighters. He went on to say that any decision on the U.S. military support for Iraq is going to take several days, adding that this is not going to happen overnight. Within minutes of his announcement, sources within the defense community indicated that U.S. airstrikes could start as soon as Saturday. Alert USA Threat Journal warns listeners that this situation will likely dramatically worsen in the coming days and weeks as fighting spreads and more Islamists pour into the country from across the region. Currently, the conflict involves extremely well-armed, well-funded rebel fighters clashing with military units from Syria, Iraq, and Iran, and soon the U.S. This week, ISIS issued direct threats to attack Jordan, and fighting in Syria has already encroached on the border of Israel. One thing is for certain, it's highly unlikely that the U.S. and NATO, not to mention other regional countries, are going to sit idly by and let Iraq, particularly with its fifth-largest oil and gas reserves in the world, slip permanently out of reach. You can find much more on this developing story in this week's Threat Journal newsletter, as well as on the Threat Journal website. If you're not already a subscriber, visit ThreatJournal.com and sign up today. The newsletter is completely free. Alert USA continues to closely monitor the situation and will immediately notify service subscribers of changes in the overall threat environment or increased U.S. involvement as events warrant. Moving next to Central Europe, on Monday of this week, Alert USA subscribers were notified via text messages to their mobile devices regarding breaking developments between NATO and Russia. Following the initial deployment of B-52 bombers to England late this week, the Pentagon followed up with a historical first-ever deployment of B-2 stealth bombers to the region. The moves came as the U.S. and NATO launched military exercises in the Baltics. In response, Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Vladimir Titov issued a statement that Moscow will respond if NATO continues to build up forces on Russia's borders. Quote, "We cannot see such a buildup of the alliance's military power near the border with Russia as anything else but a demonstration of hostile intentions." He went on to say that we will be forced to undertake all necessary political and military measures to reliably safeguard our security. This week, NATO launched two major military exercises in the Baltic region. The first, known as Sabre Strike, spans multiple locations in Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, and involves thousands of personnel from 10 countries. Also underway is a major naval exercise known as Baltops, which is the largest multinational exercise taking place in the Baltic region this year and involves maritime forces from 12 countries. Shortly after the start of these exercises, the Russian military launched their own surprise war games just across the border in a Russian enclave between Poland and Lithuania known as Kaliningrad, involving first strike forces, marines, paratroopers, bombers, heavy fire jets, and 24 warships from the Russian Baltic Fleet. Additionally, just as the U.S. deployed B-52 and B-2 stealth bombers to the region, Russia responded by sending their own nuclear-capable strategic bombers to the U.S. NORAD has confirmed that 4 Russian strategic bombers triggered U.S. air defense systems while conducting practice bombing runs near Alaska early this week, with 2 of the Tu-95 Bear H aircraft coming within 50 miles of the coast of Northern California. Retired U.S. Air Force General Thomas McInerney, who himself was commander of the 11th Air Force in Alaska, is quoted in print media outlets as saying he couldn't remember a single case of Russian strategic bombers coming this close to the U.S. coast, even at the height of the Cold War. Representative Mike Conway of Texas, a member of the House Armed Services Committee, called the Russian flights intentional provocations. Listeners are reminded that the incursion of the bombers comes just weeks after a Russian Su-27 fighter jet flew dangerously close to a U.S. RC-135 reconnaissance aircraft near Japan. In that incident, the Su-27 fighter flew close to the RC-135, turned on its side to reveal its air-to-air missiles to the crew, and then flew within 100 feet of the cockpit in a maneuver military officials called reckless. As for developments in Ukraine, the security situation in the eastern part of the country continues to spiral downward. Here again, you can find much more on this developing story in this week's Threat Journal newsletter, as well as on the Threat Journal website. As always, Alert USA continues to closely monitor the situation and will immediately notify service subscribers of changes in the overall threat environment or increased U.S. involvement as events warrant. In travel security news, in addition to issuing updated travel alerts this week for the Russian Federation and South Sudan, listeners are reminded that there are more than 36 additional countries around the world specifically identified by the U.S. government as posing significant risks for U.S. citizens. This is in addition to a U.S. government-issued worldwide caution specifically warning of the continuing threat of terrorist actions and violence against U.S. citizens and interests globally. If you are planning travel abroad, even to such common locations as the Caribbean, Mexico, or Europe, the unfortunate stone-cold reality is that a U.S. passport does not garner as much goodwill as it once did and may actually increase your chances of being marked as a target. When traveling outside of the U.S., you would be wise to spend a few minutes exploring the internet, seeing how the locals dress and blend accordingly. Go enjoy yourself, but intentionally keeping a respectful, low profile dramatically increases your level of safety. Additionally, you are well advised to regularly check the U.S. State Department's travel website where information can be found about the security situation at your destination. This has been an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, June 14th, 2014.